Maybe it's just that you don't know how to use social courtesy.
Oh, that's old-fashioned.
Watch how
Lizzie Post
and Dan Postacenik
act as host and hostess. They know that courtesy means showing respect, thinking of the other person, real friendliness.
Hello,
and welcome to Awesome Etiquette,
where we explore modern etiquette through the lens of consideration, respect, and honesty.
On today's show, we have Pooja Guptasinghe guest hosting, and we take your questions on thanking those giving donations, showing appreciation to your boyfriend's generous family, how long do you have to give a housewarming gift, and what to do when you can't remember if you've already given a wedding gift.
Plus, your most excellent feedback, etiquette salute, and a postscript about remaining calm.
For Awesome Etiquette sustaining members, your extra question of the week is on a coworker whose constant conversation is becoming an issue at work.
You can listen to your ads-free version of the show with its extra question by downloading it at awesomeetiquette.emilypost.com. On your phone, download the Teachable app.
All that's coming up. Awesome Etiquette comes to you from the studios of Vermont Public Radio and is proud to be produced in Burlington, Vermont by the Emily Post Institute. I'm Lizzie Post.
And I'm Pooja Guptasinghe.
Hey, Pooja.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I love having you back. It's so fun to change it up for a week.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to be here. The stars aligned. Everything worked out. I actually have childcare for Anisha. Today is her first daycare day.
Woo-hoo!
Or the way that
she's
I'm calling
so
it is
big.
School.
She's school. Oh,
she's
my gosh.
She's 1.5 years old. I took a photo of her against a chalkboard that said, my name is Anisha. I'm 1.5, which she can say. I say, Anisha, how old are you? She says, 1.5.
Aww.
And it says, today is my first day of school. She's wearing her rain boots. It is not raining, but that's one of her earliest fashion choices, and we're totally supporting it. So, yeah, we did the drop-off. She cried a little bit. I'm a little nervous, but you know what? It's allowed me to be here. She's fine, and I'm going to pick her up, and we're going to get creamies afterwards. So
I love it.
Everything's
that's
good.
Such a good Vermont first day. Day of preschool. Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
I needed
not
to bribe
sorry,
her.
Day
school. School.
So, yeah,
I needed
yeah, yeah.
to bribe her with the creamy. I don't think she quite understood that she was going to be there for this long or whatever, but creamy, she understands.
She understands. She's
she
a good Vermont baby.
She's a very good, I want a creamy every day, multiple times a day if I can, baby.
I love it. Oh my goodness. That's a big day. That's a big day for you. I like that you're identifying your different parts of like, you
yes.
know, I'm nervous about this, but we're excited. Excited
oh,
for what's
yes.
coming after?
All of the above. I mean, as a mom, you know, you take care of your little one and you want her to be in good hands. And the idea of having her with somebody else for a half day is mm-hmm. nerve-wracking. And at the same time, it's normal and good and she's in good hands. So a lot comes up and I just kind of sit through it and... Again, like I said, it's healthy for me. I'm here.
I was going to say, we get you here, which is amazing. That wouldn't have happened otherwise.
No, it would not have happened. It wouldn't have. So it's a good thing. And she's going to have friends. I can't wait for her to, you know, have people that she runs up to and hugs or pushes over or whatever it is they do at this age to show their love and affection towards
whatever
each other.
Those things the little toddlers do, you know.
No. But yeah,
that's awesome.
Someone
that's
to awesome. Share creamies with.
Someone to share creamies
in addition
with.
To me and her dad.
I love it. I love it. Well, speaking of you being here, I would love your help answering some of our audience questions.
Let's go for
you
it.
You up for it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I like it. Awesome Etiquette is here to answer your questions on how to behave. And if you have a question for us, please email it to awesomeetiquette@emilypost.com. Leave us a voicemail or text at 802-858-KIND. That's 802-858-5463. Or find us on Twitter and Facebook. Just use the hashtag Awesome Etiquette with your post so that we know you want your question on the show.
And today, our first question is titled The Worst. Hello, Awesome Etiquette. I was just at a birthday party hosted by a friend over the weekend. It was tons of fun, but it turns out that at least 6 people who attended got a stomach flu within 24 to 48 hours of the party. Is it appropriate to inform the host? The party was at their home and they prepared the food, which was mostly oysters on the half shell. Any guidance would be appreciated. Ari from Los Angeles.
Oh my goodness. This is the worst.
That is pretty much the worst.
Nothing like food poisoning or the stomach flu. The only thing that I'm finding interesting here is it said within 24 to 48 hours. And from what I know about food contamination or bad food, that usually comes up, I feel like, within like 12 hours or 24 hours. 48 seems a little long.
I'm not a doctor. I don't know these things.
Me either.
So, it's kind of... It's unknown.
Yeah.
Was it the oysters in the half shell? Was it somebody...
Stomach bug.
Who had a stomach bug? Or the flu?
Yeah.
And just passed it around? And was it one of the guests? One of the kids there? We don't know.
But the question is, do you tell the host?
Okay, so I'm imagining that if I get sick, and I know these people I've gone to the party with, I'm going to call Susie and Frankie and be like, you guys, I just got sick. You too. Right? And so they know that six people have gotten sick. That's a lot. Uh-huh. And so I'm thinking the host would want to know just because it's part of the social group that you're in. And this is an experience that kind of a lot of you are having. And just kind of as like a sharing and kind of knowing what's going on in the group.
Right.
You would tell the host. You don't know. Nobody knows. So it's not like you're going to pin it on the host and go, your oysters, those weren't good. I could tell, but I ate them because I felt pressured. But I mean, there's no backstory. It's just, I got sick. Susie got sick. Frankie got sick. Are you sick? Are you okay? What happened? What did we do? Right? It's like very innocent.
I like the kind of like we're all in it together vibe that you're giving.
Why
like,
not?
Dude, what happened? We are all feeling crummy
today. We got
today.
Struck
are
out.
Are you feeling crummy today
exactly.
too? What is going on?
Exactly.
It's funny, but a lot of the times when you can, instead of going the blame route, when you do that kind of wonder and curiosity and you
Definitely.
Invite it from that perspective, people don't feel judged. They don't feel as likely to defend.
Right.
They're not going to be put in a place of, well, are you saying my party was awful? It's like, no, we're just all sick afterwards.
Yeah, it's not awkward. About that. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I do think you absolutely can bring it up with the host. I would check in with some other guests first, and I would be careful with my language, just like Pooja was doing in that great sample language that she gave, really keeping it positive and curious and more of a sharing of the experience than any kind of blame. And just whatever it is that the host's reaction is, if they're not willing to take this on, don't try to force it. Don't try to force them to take responsibility for it, but instead say, okay, I just wanted to make sure you knew and also to check in to see if you were feeling all right. And that's really all the call actually is.
Yeah. Because nobody knows.
No one knows. Yeah. I do think, though, that it is good to know the time frames because of that idea of food contamination. It might
good
help
call,
narrow
Lizzie.
Down like where it came from or
right.
if there was a caterer or someone at the event.
Definitely.
You would definitely want to be talking about that with any vendor that you hired. So I'd feel confident as the host. Think of it as like you're gathering information and then you're going to be able to make a decision about whether you talk to the vendor about it or not.
Definitely. Good call. So, Ari, go ahead, give a call to your host, and don't worry about a thing. Everything's fine, you're going to feel better, and enjoy the oysters next time.
You see, it is quite possible for you to have germs in your body which don't make you sick at all. But if those germs get from your hands to the hands of someone else, he may not be so able to resist the germs as you are. He may become sick.
Our next question is about charitable gratitude. Hi, Lizzie and Dan. I'm raising money for an Alzheimer's charity walk I'm doing in October. Any good ideas for a thank you to those who donated? I want to send a card. Should I send cards as I get donations or after the event? Anything else small or necessary to give? Thanks.
So I think that getting a thank you card or an email or a text, some kind of recognition right after you send in a donation feels really good.
I am with you. A thank you right after that donation happens is really good. And depending on the service or the way that you're collecting donations, mm-hmm. that might be a handwritten note. It might be a text or a phone call, or it might be automated through the donation service. But I think you want that touch base point no matter what.
I completely agree. It gives that person the feeling that the money's been received, it's been recognized, and that's what you want to know. As someone who's donating to a cause and probably somebody you know, you're giving this money to somebody you know. So yeah. You really want to know that they received the money. You're getting that social recognition. I gave you money for your Alzheimer's walk, right? Aren't I doing a good thing? I really love you, and I really want to support this good cause. But there is that kind of aspect of being recognized for your good work.
Yeah. And it's important to express that gratitude. I also think that the follow-up isn't a bad idea. After the event, you know, you can put together a couple of pictures, almost like a little one-page newsletter or something. It can let people who donated know how much was actually received in the end, maybe even where it's going to, or some highlights from the event, something like that. And then you can also express your gratitude. You can always include a second personal note with that. But it's almost like an announcement after a graduation, but it's an announcement after a charitable event.
That would be amazing. If I received like some photos or information about the walk right afterwards, not only did I know that the money was received, but now the walks happened and it was successful.
Yeah.
And I contributed to something bigger and we raised this much money in total. And I can see everyone smiling and running across the finish line. Like,
totally.
That is a great feel good thing. And if you can share it, it might take a little bit of time to put that piece together. But any way that that could be done would be wonderful. And it could be sent out to everybody en masse.
Absolutely.
And like you said, a little personalized note always kind of is a nice touch.
Absolutely. Anonymous, we hope that helps, and good luck with the walk. We hope you guys raise a lot of money.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Our next question is titled, Really Showing Appreciation, and it comes to us from Melissa via voicemail.
I had a question about ideas for thank you gifts. So I've been invited by my boyfriend's family on a trip to Europe this summer, and it's actually really special because it's a girls' trip, so he's not even invited, and this is the third trip abroad that they've invited me on. Now, in the past, I was in college, so I have usually gotten his grandmother, who's paying for my flight, my hotel, the excursions, everything. I usually get her a nice bouquet of flowers, a little bit above and beyond, and get her something really special to show my appreciation. Now, every time I ask his family or him for ideas of what to get her, they kind of dismiss me and tell me to not worry about it. But I really want to do something that shows my appreciation and something a little more personal than just flowers and a note. But I'm not super close with her, so I don't know what she likes or, you know, what she would appreciate receiving. So I just need some ideas on gifts that would show my appreciation for her not only inviting me on this trip, but treating me to everything along the way as well. And also just for the family in general for kind of taking me in as one of their own. So any ideas would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
I love this question, Pooja, because deep down, we all so badly want for our appreciation to be received
yes.
at the same level that mm-hmm. we are feeling the gratitude that's inspiring it.
Right.
It's that feeling of, oh my gosh, people have gone so far above and beyond and included me in something that I never would have gotten to do otherwise. And
spent all this money.
Yeah, and time, and just, and it's overwhelming. You're never gonna be able to like return that in quite the same way that you are experiencing it. And that is okay.
Well, and it's not like you want to make it transactional.
Exactly.
This isn't like grandma gave me $5,000 worth of energy, time, money, trip.
I need to give $5,000 back of
exactly.
energy, time, money, like experience.
No.
Exactly. No, it's not a tit for tat in that kind of way. We really have to get over the thought of my thanks is not enough.
Yeah.
When our listener brought up things like sending flowers and saying thank you and writing the note, those honestly were the first two things I thought of for the ways that you should express gratitude to this person.
So she's already doing the right kind of appropriate level or way, a symbol of showing
exactly,
thank you.
Exactly. I feel like this grandma is clearly able and of the means or of the connections one way or the other to create this experience for all the ladies in the family. And I think that it is, to me, that sounds like someone who, it's very hard to find those perfect gifts for these folks. You know, they often have everything. They can get the things they want and need right. for themselves. What they really love to do is to give to others and create wonderful experiences. And they get a lot of joy out of that.
And get the joy from other people experiencing joy because of them, right? The gift they want to see you happy.
Yes, exactly. And it's really important to not feel like we are less than in our expressing of gratitude when we have someone like that in our lives. Mm. I have a friend who just does above and beyond trips for a whole group of us, and it is really wonderful, and I feel very blessed and very grateful for those trips. I often feel just like our listener. I don't know how to repay him for this. And so I try and think of things like, well, you know, he'll send a text message that's like, my goal is to make you all smile. And so my thank you was I took a bunch of selfies and moments of everyone smiling and a picture of that text message. And I sent those to him in a little photo album.
Oh,
and
that's beautiful.
Yeah. And I was like, goal accomplished. Like, we were all smiling.
Ah,
you know what I mean?
Great.
So you can think of things like that if that kind of an opportunity presents. Another thing is to listen when you're on the trip to things grandma says. Maybe she says something like, oh, I love Turkish delight. Like, then, you know what? Maybe it's the flowers and some Turkish delight. And, you know, in the note
Ooh,
you
I
include
like
and you
too.
Say, I remember you mentioning you loved this. Or, you know, I once gave a hair clip to someone that has everything because she had tried on my hair clip and said that she loved it. And so it's try to look for those little moments.
Those little personal things that show that you really appreciate that person also, not necessarily monetarily. A gift that's a huge amount of money, but really a gift that shows that you really care about them also.
And you listen and you pay mm-hmm. attention, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I really would suggest making sure that your thank you note talks about some of the highlights of the trip, some of the things you really loved and appreciated. But I think that the note, some flowers, and maybe if you find the opportunity for something else, that's wonderful. But I think you're really covered on the note and the flowers and just being a positive participating member of this trip and this family. And it sounds like y'all have a wonderful connection and that this is a really beautiful family experience.
So Melissa, go forth and have fun.
Vacation, that wonderful American institution of going new places and doing new things. And here's a tip. One bag holding toilet articles, pajamas, and a change of light clothing for the entire family can save a lot of unpacking and repacking.
Our next question is titled, How Long for a Housewarming Gift? Hey, Awesome Etiquette, say a friend or family member purchases and moves into a new home. How long is the time frame to give a housewarming gift? Been wondering about this for a while. Thanks, Brandon from the PNW.
The Pacific Northwest. Hi, Brandon. Thanks so much for writing in. You know, truly, you can send or give a housewarming gift at any point. I know a lot of people who throw their housewarming parties like really late. Like,
well,
so,
and it takes a bit
late.
Of time to just get settled, especially when you've moved into a new place. You gotta get furniture, you gotta get a
you
bed,
guys
blah,
were
blah,
quick.
Blah.
I felt like you guys were like moved in within like a month. And you had a baby that month, too.
Yeah, that was a jam-packed month.
And then, but I feel like it was, like, not that long after that you had everybody up and we all got to see the new place. And
I know, but it was Christmas and it was family, so we had to do it.
That's true. That's true.
Well, I mean, we didn't have to, but we...
It was
you know
an opportunity.
It was an opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, don't do this at home. This is not a good idea. But we did it. I'm just saying.
Don't do this at home.
But anyway, most people aren't like that, and they shouldn't be, and that's good. And so whenever you see them, you can bring a housewarming present, and that's okay.
Absolutely. You can even make a joke of it if it's like a year later. You can
right.
say, you know, I never got you a housewarming gift, and I really wanted to, so I thought I'd bring this over tonight.
And a little bit
Happy
of honesty.
Home.
Yes, goes a far way. You're acknowledging, yep, it's been 2 years later, and I still haven't even given you a bottle of wine or
whatever. I love how much it removes the awkwardness immediately when that happens. It's, you just rec- recognize that, this is it, you know?
And you clear the air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, most people aren't holding it over you that you haven't given a housewarming gift. It's not something that hosts and new homeowners or people who have just moved to a new home. It's not something that they expect when you walk through the door the first time.
Good to know.
Yeah, that's one key element. I think we've started to see registries for housewarming gifts. This is like not the idea behind this type of move or experience in life. It's okay. Much more about warming the space with your presence and making it feel like your home. That's why it's a housewarming. It's like it's not your home yet until you've kind of like set it up and friends and family have come over and you have that experience. Yeah. So trust that your hosts aren't sitting around going, okay, so, you know, Brandon hasn't gotten us anything yet.
Right.
Brandon, we hope that that's both inspirational and helps you relax about housewarming gifts. Our next question comes from Emily, and it's titled, "Did we give you a wedding gift?" And it also comes with a little piece of feedback about the accessible bathroom stall issue from episode, I believe, 204.
Hi, Dan and Lizzie. I wanted to thank you for your wonderful show, and I had a wedding gift question that I never heard answered. I got married this summer, and we have been a bit disorganized, and there's a million weddings besides ours, and we can't remember if we gave our friends a wedding gift or not, and I looked at my email, and I can't figure it out. Is there a polite way to ask someone whether you gave them a gift? Because we'd really like to make sure that they get one because we love them. So the other thing that I was calling about is I am paralyzed. I use a wheelchair, and I think you are spot on the handicap restroom question. It definitely doesn't bother me when someone's in the restroom just using it, you know, because all the stalls are full if they're not going to take forever. One thing that I do when there's a long line is I will wait in the line until I'm in the bathroom and the number of people in front of me is about equal to the number of stalls, and then I will go to the handicap stall and wait specifically for that one, and other people, even people behind me, will get into the other one first. So thanks for your podcast. Bye.
Oh my gosh, I feel like this is me this summer, where it's like, it's not that so many weddings are happening, but so much work is happening that I am starting to not remember, oh shoot, did I send Cousin Jill a wedding gift? I know I got her this for the shower, but did I do the wedding gift? And I'm realizing right now I haven't, and I need to get that to her.
Right.
But it's that feeling of, oh my gosh, did I, didn't I? And it's so easy to just ask the question.
Yes.
Like, would you feel bad if anyone called you up after the wedding and was like, hey, I gotta be honest, things have been a little complex this summer. I cannot remember if I sent you a wedding gift or not, and I really want to send you a wedding gift.
Not at all. If someone said that to me, I would just be grateful that they were thinking about me and that they were able to talk to me in a really kind of simple, honest way. There's no formality, like, they're just asking.
Totally.
So
the last thing in my mind would be to judge them for it.
Like, no, yeah. I'd be happy. I mean, you know, either they gave me a gift and I get to go, oh, right, you gave me this. And we get a conversation about
it. And then you're going, and now I'm remembering I have to thank you for it.
Exactly.
With a thank you note.
Exactly. There's these things that both parties need to do. So it's, you know, you're probably both feeling it to some degree. So talking about it is, once again, it clears the air.
Plus, I think it's easier for the couple, because if they are sitting around doing their thank you notes and you haven't sent them a gift, then they're sitting there wondering, well, so do we do the thing where we just thank them for coming? Like, do we let her know she didn't send something? We get that question on the show a lot. But so I think it helps the couple to not feel the pressure of having to ask about it. And of course, as we all know, the answer to that is that the couple doesn't need to ask about it. It just is what it is. And
you send the thank you note saying thank you
for coming, and then the guests can speak up if they're like, hey, did you actually get my gift? And then you know what's going on. And if they don't speak up, then you know they didn't send something, probably.
Right.
But the reverse of this that our listener Emily is feeling, I would not worry about Emily. Just I would say, call your friend, ask. This is a really easy one. This could happen to anybody, even if it isn't a million weddings this summer, including your own. Can we jump to the feedback that Emily also also gave about the accessible stalls. Yeah. I loved that strategic idea of that you'll move to the front of the line once there's enough stalls for everyone who's sort of standing in that initial portion or who's standing in line with you.
What a way to be fair. And to still also take care of yourself.
Yes. I thought it was like considerate and like you said, good for self
really
too.
Really brilliant.
Awesome. I have loved everyone's feedback on the accessible bathroom issue. I think that it has been really fascinating, and I've been so happy to hear so many people speaking up.
So thank you, Emily. Go ahead, give your friend a call and clear the air and get her a present if you need to. And if not, sit back and relax. You've already done the work.
Thank you for your questions. Please send us updates, comments, or feedback on our answers to awesomeetiquette@emilypost.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 802-858-KIND. That's 802-858-5463. Or please find us on Twitter and Facebook. Just use the hashtag awesomeetiquette in your post so we know you want your question or feedback on the show. Each week, we like to hear your thoughts about the questions we answer and the topics we cover. And we recently took a question about couples making plans as individuals. And Anne had some useful feedback for those couples trying to make solo plans and handle the coordination of their schedules. Hello, I wanted to make a suggestion in regards to couples making separate plans. I am really fond of using a shared calendar app when making these separate plans. It helps keep both of us in the loop, and some of the apps can be set up to send an alert when another user adds an event to the calendar. No big discussion of plans, but it keeps everyone up to date easily. Smiley face, best Anne. I love this because you can go back and check easily. It's not like you have to search through a list of text messages to try and find what someone was up to.
It's very organized.
Right there. Mm-hmm. I dig it. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Anne. And here is Ariel. She had some feedback for our segment about cell phone etiquette. She says, hi, Lizzie and Dan. I wanted to give a little feedback about my experience with your postscript segment about cell phone etiquette. The particular rudeness I see in myself, as much as others, is what Catherine Price in her book, How to Break Up with Your Phone Calls Fubbing, aka the portmanteau of phone and snubbing. That's funny. This is the action. No ringer or alarm has gone off, and yet the siren song of the phone is too loud, although silent, and suddenly you're on your phone in a social situation. I see my friends and coworkers doing it. We're talking, riding in a car, in a meeting, etc., and someone's just scrolling on their phone. No texting, no talking, just scrolling. I think part of why so many people don't think they're being rude is that they don't realize that they're on their phone. Whenever I catch myself doing it, it's mystifying. This is in all caps, by the way. What am I doing? I will be having a social interaction, and then suddenly, poof, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Reddit, or the like. At least for myself, I've unintentionally trained my brain to be constantly checking something because perhaps there might be a notification I missed. Catherine Price's recommendation for untraining this behavior is to do quote-unquote fasts, P-H-A-S-T-S, a.k.a. a phone fast, and not let yourself look at your phone or use your phone, or even if you get a notification. It's hard, but it's worth it if it will help me be less rude. Thanks for the podcast, and sorry about the long feedback. Sincerely, Ariel.
Ariel, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not such a fan of the portmanteaus, but I do like the idea of putting your phone down. When I choose to watch a movie or something with a friend, I try to put my phone out of reach. Sometimes still do need to reply to messages that are coming in, especially if I'm on duty for work or something like that. But it's really nice to be able to put it far enough away that you don't end up scrolling on Pinterest or Instagram or something like that while you're watching a movie with a person that you're supposed to share the experience with.
Yes. Like an actual person.
who's with you.
In the flesh. Oh my, that's so 1950. How dare we go there? No, great feedback, Ariel. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sending us your thoughts and updates. Please keep them coming. You can send your comment or update to awesomeetiquette@emilypost.com or leave us a message or text at 802-858-KIND. That's 802-858-5463. It's time for our postscript segment where we dive deeper into a topic of etiquette. And on today's postscript, we decided to talk about remaining calm. So, Pooj, I was so excited to have you here to talk and get your professional opinion on the idea of calming down. So many of our listeners write in and they talk about how they love the feeling that the show gives them and they feel more prepared to think first before they act. But we all have those people or those moments in our life that are more triggering. And I know that I am not some, you know, amazing balancer of my emotions on a constant basis.
Like, we're trying.
Half the time I feel
I'm
at the mercy of them. Like, and but I have noticed over the past few years, and especially since working at Emily Post and spending time talking about consideration, respect, and honesty all the time, the skills of patience and listening come up a lot in trying to calm myself down so that I can have those moments of consideration, respect, and honesty with someone else. And, you know, it's funny how much it takes to have a successful moment when things are stressful. But what can we talk about some of the strategies that you and I have thought of over the years and also just that you know as a therapist that can help folks in those really difficult triggering moments?
You know, one thing I think about is actually an example from anger management, people who struggle with anger. And one of the most effective ways to deal with that emotion is to, and probably any emotion, to be honest, is to first recognize it. Just to label it. See, you're in a social interaction. Someone does something that triggers your angry part, and that part comes up roaring. And just to notice and say, oh, there's anger. That's it. Just that simple. It gives you a little space so that you aren't angry. It's there's anger and there's you. There's some separation between you and your part, your angry part that's coming up. And so noticing it and labeling it can be really helpful.
That is awesome. And I love where you're talking about the separation and that just labeling it can allow you to be a little different from it, even though it's what you're feeling, it's what you're experiencing.
It's part of you, but it's not all of you.
I love that.
And
love that.
Even, here's another extension. This may or may not be appropriate at any given social conversation.
Sure.
But a suggestion is speaking for your part, but not from your part. And I'll give you an example. So to say, part of me is angry that you didn't do the dishes, as opposed to, I can't believe you didn't do the dishes.
Yeah.
Whereas I am expressing full on all of the anger in my being. And it's all of me. I can't believe you didn't do the dishes. And I'm saying in an angry way.
And you're adding a whole, like the difference. I wish we were on video right now because the difference physically in how you expressed that and said it, it was much more threatening. I would have felt more scared of you in that moment, as opposed to you saying, you know, part of me is really angry about this.
Exactly.
I like the fact that labeling the part of you that's really angry about this lets you also say part of me is really angry about this, but I want to focus on but I want to hear, but I want to take time.
Yes.
There's like sort of a, you can insert the next step after you've identified that part of you is angry. And
there's
I really love
space,
that.
Right?
There is.
Yeah. The angry part hasn't taken over the whole body, the whole voice. It hasn't taken over the whole situation. And now the other person has a little room also to offer what it is that they want to say. You know, I understand that, that part of you is angry.
Yeah. And they also have room from the physical, you know, all the other thing, the signals that you were sending when you gave the angry example that's using all of you being angry as opposed to part of you being angry.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference when I don't also have to process the shaking body or the blood, you know, the eyes bulging out or the
fight or
nostrils
response.
Flaring, you know.
So, like, so much of our
there's a lot of space there.
There is a lot of space there. And I think that's really wise to notice, Lizzie, the actual bodily experience, the physical, our, as Dan calls it, the time capsule that we move around in. And if you can actually notice what's happening in your body, and give it a little space once again. That's another way to be calm. So something as simple as dropping your shoulders and noticing that you're breathing or feeling your feet on the ground.
Oh, these were the grounding techniques you were teaching me.
Yes, just that simple action will allow you to be calm. And it's impossible for you to be angry if your breath is calm. It's just the truth.
I'm like breathing slowly and quietly over here.
Yeah, just taking like, a breath. Just inhale, exhale. And the key is doing that in the moment. And how do we learn any practice or patterning is just to do it.
To try it. You have. I remember the other night I had something that's a trigger for me come up. And it's a powerful trigger. And so I knew the feelings I was starting to feel. And I was able in that moment to say, wait a minute. What if I just thought this instead? Now, that moment happened. It wasn't big enough to carry through the entire situation. It didn't magically fix. It wasn't like a miracle moment.
Right.
But it was different because this time I had that one moment of, what if my reaction sounded different? What if I not just thought this, but also was able to speak it from a place of being genuine? So.
Yeah.
You know, rather than, oh, I'm so mad that, you know, this interruption is happening. It's,
yes.
Oh, I wonder what that person's calling about. Or, oh, I wonder how their day went. And that can be a way to start to reprogram that immediate frustrated feeling into one that's more productive and easier for you to then process and live with, too.
Yeah, I think the quality that you described was curiosity.
Yeah, that's the one I like.
Yes.
Like going to curiosity.
Yes, it's such a lifesaver.
Well, and it's easier than just saying, go to being happy for someone.
That's hard.
Or go to not being mad.
Yes.
It's like, how do you not be mad?
Yes.
Pooja, I love this, the idea of creating a little space by identifying the part of you that's angry,
mm-hmm.
and also a few grounding techniques to give yourself space and to allow you to present yourself in a way that's going to let the other person be able to receive you and not feel quite so...
Triggered, maybe?
Yeah, no, triggered is a great word for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to create the space for patience and listening, but I love these tools and thank you so, so much for sharing them with our audience.
My pleasure.
We like to end our show on a high note, so we turn to you to hear about the good etiquette you're seeing and experiencing out in the world, and that can come in so many forms. Today, we hear from Emily.
I'm calling because I want to give an awesome etiquette salute to all the people that open doors for me every single day. So I use a manual wheelchair, and it can sometimes be a struggle to get through doors, especially heavy ones. But even ones that it's not a struggle to get through, I always appreciate when someone holds them for me. And I want to give a special shout out to all the people at IKEA. On Sunday, I went by myself and I had a lady help find me a spot at a table and then even went and got water and utensils for me, even though she totally didn't have to do that. And someone helped me get my cart out to the car from the register. So I really appreciate the help, and navigating the world in a wheelchair is not always the easiest, but it sure is a heck of a lot easier when so many awesome people go out of their way to be polite and helpful. Thank you.
Emily, thank you for sending in your question, your feedback, and your salute. We are so happy to be able to share them on the show. Thank you so much for participating, and thank you to everyone who is taking notice and holding doors. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, everyone who sent us something.
You can send us questions, comments, and salutes by email to awesomeetiquette@emilypost.com.
By phone, leave us a message or text us at 802-858-KIND. That's 802-858-5463.
On Twitter, we are at Daniel_Post and at LizzieAPost. That's Lizzie with an IE.
On Facebook, we are Awesome Etiquette and the Emily Post Institute.
Please consider helping us out by becoming a sustaining member by visiting awesomeetiquette.emilypost.com.
Subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app, and please consider leaving us a review.
Our show is edited by Chris Albertine.
Thank you, Chris.